Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. We're going to continue what we started last week, a new series that we're going to be doing on Wednesday nights. And the title of this series is, How Are You at Guarding Your Mind? And I want to read again here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the first five verses of Scripture here that point to this truth, that you and I are responsible before God to guard our minds and our thinking. Somebody else is not going to do it for you. It's your responsibility before God. And we're going to look at this over a series of Wednesday nights because I think this is very important. I think we are failing today in the church to guard our minds. We've let it down. We've told ourselves, we've convinced ourselves that we don't need to worry about it. That we can just think anything. We're just open to just about anything. And the Bible is totally and completely clear about this, that you are responsible for your thoughts and your imaginations. You are responsible for how you think. And God expects you to destroy, that is to search out and destroy thoughts that are not in keeping with His precious Word. You're to search and destroy. You're to pound them to dust, as we're going to look at the Word tonight as we read. Beginning at verse 1 here of chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now that's an important verse. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. In other words, we don't take up carnal and fleshly ways of doing battle. We have to battle with the spiritual tools that God provides us in His Word. And He goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, all right? They're not earthy, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Really, that could be translated reasonings overthrowing, all right? Reasonings overthrowing, all right? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity how many thoughts? Every. We're going to look at that phrase tonight. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He ties in their obedience to the Word of God, to the command of Paul here regarding how we are to operate in this life when it comes to our thinking. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon our study tonight. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts today as we study this passage. Lord, my heart is very concerned for our young people. I'm concerned about our children, our teenagers. I'm concerned about our adults that are here tonight. Lord, that we do not mull over and entertain thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God and to the principles that are revealed in the Word of God. Help us, Father, to think biblically, and then when those thoughts come that are not biblical, that we would do what You have told us, You commanded us to do, and that is to destroy them, to get rid of them, to purge them from our thinking. And Lord, I know that this is not an easy thing, but thankfully we have the power of Thy Holy Spirit to undertake this task that You've given to us. The responsibility is ours. And I pray that we might take up that responsibility, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared with you last week the testimony of a woman that was interviewed for World Magazine of how that she had approached her child with this full emergence concept of surrounding her daughter with the possibility that she may not be a girl after all. That she may be more suited to be a male, and so she wanted her to be open. All right? Now just think for just a moment. Just stop for just a moment and think. Has that kind of thinking been prevalent in the United States of America in the past? I don't think so. Now, were there people that may have had those thoughts? Surely. All right, because man is wicked and there's nothing new under the sun. But as a country, we were founded on moral principles, and the Bible was taken at its word, that it was God's word, and children, girls and boys, were taught that that's the way God had created them. But that's not the way people think. You have to understand today that by and large, we are dealing with secular humanists in America. We are in the minority. We are dealing with secular humanists, and that humanism has infiltrated, now listen to me now, it's infiltrated the church. We can't just sit here and make pot shots at the world and say, yeah, it's out there in the world, that secular humanism's out there in the world. It's in the church. It's in the thinking of people who go to church. Secular humanism, which amounts in my book to paganism. Alright? Paganism is a person who thinks that they are God. And that kind of thinking is in the church today. I see it. I talk to pastors who deal with it. I talked to a pastor who called me, appreciated the projector that they had got, and said, listen, I'd appreciate prayer. He said, we're having to deal with this a situation with wrong thinking about music in our church. We have taken a stand, and now we have a bunch of people that are upset and angry with our stand on music. Now, he said, we've had this same music standard now since the founding of the church. We haven't changed our music standard, but people are changing their what? Thinking. Now, why do people change their thinking? Who do they listen to? Now, this is what I'm talking about here. Who are you listening to about music? There are perhaps here in this group teenagers here that have convinced themselves that it's all right to fill your mind and your ears with rock music. Maybe your parents don't know. Maybe they do. I don't know. But you've convinced yourself. Who did you listen to come to that place? Some may have listened to a pastor, because I've seen more and more of them come out blogging, talking about there's nothing wrong with rock music. There's nothing wrong with that. And the texts and the lyrics are filthy. They're sexual. They have all kinds of themes that are contrary to the Word of God. The morality of it is contrary to the Word of God. The subject matter, the music itself. You get me wrong, there's wrong music and there's right music. But somehow we've come to the place where we're rethinking these things. And some people aren't really rethinking, they're just coming out with the thinking they've had all the years. You know why? Because they never set a guard upon their mind. They never set a guard upon their mind. They never have accomplished what the Bible says that we are supposed to do. Casting down imagination. What does that mean? The word casting down means to destroy. To literally, in the Greek, it's the idea of pounding something to powder. Alright? Have you done that in your thinking recently? Where you thought thoughts that were not in line with the Word of God, and you said, Lord, by Your grace, I'm going to pound it to powder and cast it into the ocean. I believe, folks, it's not happening in the church. It's not happening, and we're seeing that fruition. I mentioned the fact that I had a seminary professor that emailed me and said, Todd, it is so unfortunate for me to look out on the landscape of the young men that I taught in my master's and PhD programs who no longer think biblically. Now, why do they not think biblically? Because they've accepted the culture. Their mind was open. Aren't our minds supposed to be open as a Christian? No. It's only open to this book. Now, this is disturbing to some people. Oh, we've got to be open-minded to the culture. If we're going to reach the culture, like the rap, Trip Lee, rap artist, He said, we have to reach people where they are. Well, I understand that. But we don't lower the standard of the gospel to reach them. Trip Lee says, you know what you have to do? You have to use rap music to reach people that like rap. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to go contrary to the Word of God to reach people. If you reach them, you're going to win them to another gospel. You've got to reach them with the clear presentation of the Word of God, not using the world's medium to communicate that truth. But Trip Lee opened his mind years ago when he was at Liberty University. He opened his mind to the whole realm of the rock scene and the rap culture. All right? He was introduced to it, he says, at that college. He was introduced to that music, that he could use that music to communicate the gospel. And so he gets up there and he drones his rap and he throws in religious words and so forth, and that's his witness. It is blasphemous. It is blasphemous. You don't handle the Word of God like you want. You handle the Word of God like God wants. And that's a very important principle. It needs to be drilled into all of us here tonight. It has to be drilled in. I don't have the right to handle God's Word according to my thinking. I am to handle God's Word according to His thinking. He tells me, and I obey. I don't tell God and tell people what I think about the Bible. I am just sickened by what passes today in churches for Sunday school, where they have these little circle groups and they get in a circle and they choose a topic. All right, this is happening all across America. They choose a topic and they say, all right, the topic today is this. We're going to start right over here. What do you think about this topic? Now just stop for just a moment. Is that teaching the Word of God? Is that teaching the Word of God? No. It is going to man and say, well, what do you think about this particular topic? Does it matter what I think about this particular topic? Now maybe I might be right about it. But you know what? I've participated when I've gone away from here in one of those, and I found that almost half of the group that we were in were not thinking biblically. They were thinking like the culture, and they were just spouting the psychology of the culture in that thing, and people were sitting there nodding their heads, that's good, yeah, oh, that's great. But it wasn't biblical. It wasn't biblical. And when I spoke up, and I said what the Word of God, I actually took my Bible and took them to some scripture verses. The Bibles for most of them were closed. It was just looking at everybody else to see what they thought. That is not having a guard up on the mind. That is being open to receive just about anything. And as many people live in this world as how many opinions there will be. Always. Whose opinion counts? God. What saith the Lord? We've gotten away from that today. We're not guarding our thoughts. We're not guarding our minds. And so we are ending up repeating and spouting the falsehoods of false teachers, the falsehoods of all kinds of educators, the falsehoods. You just go down the list. And we swallow it in because it's in a religious setting and we are losing our minds. I'm energetic about this, folks, because this is where we are today. This is where we are today. And if we're not careful, we will lose the truth of the Word of God and we will exchange it and we won't even realize that we've done it. We will slip right down the river and float away from the dock of God's truth because we decided my thinking is what matters. And it's not your thinking that matters. We have to search and destroy those imaginations, computations. Now get that word. The word imaginations there comes from a Greek word, lego, which means to compute, to add up. All right? To compute. If my computations are wrong, what am I to do with them? I am to destroy them. Isn't it interesting, and I brought this out last time, that Common Core, which by the way has infiltrated Even Christian education materials today, common core concepts of mathematics now, where you go in and they have these strange word problems that have nothing to do in reality with math. It is a reason by feeling. It's a reason by feeling. If I feel like something should be 5 plus 5, if I feel like it should be 9, as long as I can express a rationale, then it's okay. That's dangerous. That's absolutely dangerous. I wouldn't want to send our NASA astronauts in an aircraft that somebody computed that way, would you? How about let's compute the trajectory to the moon? And some mathematician that feels like it should be one way computes that. Are they going to hit the moon? No, they're not. They're going to die. Very interesting. I was reading the other day about the plans that were made in case the moon mission went awry. One of the big things that we're going to do was going to have an official prayer service at the White House. And then they were going to go on national television and say, "We are so sorry to inform you that our astronauts are stranded or they're lost in space," because they had never done this before. And the one thing they were really concerned about that came out of this document that had been just released recently was they were concerned in case there was a mistake by the engineers in their computations. Would they miss the moon? Would they miss the orbit around the moon? And yet today we're teaching that it really doesn't matter if you get the answer right, as long as you can explain. Isn't that right, Pastor Watt? That's what the statement says. If you can explain, if you can put into a rationale why you believe 5 plus 5 equals 9, it's okay. Folks, we are adopting that same kind of thinking in the church. That we can just add things up on our own any way we want to. No, you can't. And God's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold you accountable. Have we forgotten that today? Do you ever meditate and think about, I'm going to have to give an account for every, the Bible says, every idle word. That overwhelms me. Every idle word, I'm going to have to give an account. Who said so? The Bible did. God said so. I'm going to have to give an account. Everything I tweeted, everything I texted, everything I posted on Facebook or social media, I'm going to have to be brought account in. You know what? I think a lot of people would just hush up if they had the biblical thinking. But what have we done? We let our guard down. I can just think anything I want to. I can say anything I want to. No, you can't if you're a child of God, because you will be held into account. You have a responsibility to search and destroy thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. Cast down. That means to grind to powder, bring it to naught. And we're not doing that today. Let's go on. And every high thing, exalted thing, that exalteth itself against what? The knowledge of God. Things you know to be true from the Word of God, and you exalt something above that. Anything that you exalt above the knowledge of God is supposed to be destroyed. How are we doing tonight at search and destroy of those thoughts that come into our hearts and minds that are contrary to the Word of God? This is very important. And bringing into captivity. Now, oh, this is so important. Bringing into captivity. This concept, this truth from the Word of God, I believe is the most ignored. When was the last time you brought into captivity just one thought? Now, be honest. When was the last time that you brought into captivity a thought? Yeah. I did some own heart searching. Not doing it. Not doing it. Oh, we think we are. We've convinced ourselves that we're all right, we're good. But we're not searching out and destroying and bringing into captivity, as the Bible says, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Todd Brainerd didn't say that. The Bible says that. Bring it into captivity. One Greek scholar said this about that phrase, about bringing into captivity. Literally, it's the idea of bringing a captive under subjection at the end of a spear. What does that imply? You go out and you find the thought. You bring it into captivity and you do it, if you have to, with violence. You grab up that spear and you say, we're going to bring this back in line with the Word of God. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time I did that? Making it personal. We've gotten careless, haven't we? We've gotten careless. We're not honoring the Lord in our thought life. We've gotten very careless. And what does that mean down the road? You know, it's hard now to see where we're going to be 5, 10, 15 years down the road. But when I talked with that seminary professor, he said, I could not believe that someone I have fellowship with now, I can no longer fellowship with because they refuse to obey the Word of God. They've adopted new ways of thinking. New ways of thinking. Isn't that wonderful? Not biblical ways of thinking, but new ways of thinking. We are to lead our thoughts, bring them into subjugation. If you have to use a spear, if you have to grab a weapon, you must do so in order to be biblical thinkers. Very important. In order to be a biblical thinker. Not putting it through the culture, not putting through the filter that you've erected in your mind, but instead put it through the Word of God. That's hard work, Pastor Brainerd. Yes, it is. Anything that's worthwhile takes work. Anything. If you're going to be benefit in a classroom, young people, you've got to work hard. Well, I remember going home. I had such troubles in school with math. My mom would sit up with me and we'd sit there trying to get through that math and say, Mom, I just don't want to. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. And she made sure I got it. I'm not a math whiz by any stretch of the imagination. But there were a lot of long hours. Isn't that right, Mom? A lot of long hours just trying to understand and whatever, but she would not let me quit. She would not let me quit. You're going to finish it. You're going to get it done. Every problem. I remember another project I had later on, years down the road in college. We were supposed to read every chapter of the Bible and give a synopsis of that chapter. Guess who waited to the last week? You're not going to bed, son. What? You're not going to bed. You're going to get that job done. Days out. All hours reading through the Bible and writing down a synopsis to get it typed out, ready to get turned in for Bible class in college. You know what? What was she doing? Trying to straighten up the thinking. Don't wait to the last minute. Don't wait to the last minute. Plan ahead. Prepare yourself. And you know what it takes to think rightly? You got to prepare yourself to think rightly. It's a preparation process. We're going to get into that as we develop the Word of God in this regard about the importance of preparing yourself to think rightly. If you're going to do something, you got to prepare for it. You know, before they started the project around this building, you know what happened in 2004? We started preparing for the paving project. Now, we were desirous to do it a little bit earlier than that, but it wasn't in the Lord's timing at that time. But we got all the EPA permits back then. We got all the engineering work done, and we took those plans down there and said, this is what we're going to do on the project, and got them approved. Showed them what we had. You're good to go. Why? The preparation work was done. All of the little things that had to be done. For instance, replacing the water line from this building out to the front there. That water line's been there for almost 50 years. Don't you think it's deteriorated, galvanized metal? It's got to be replaced. We're going to do it now. We're not going to approach it like the city of Milton does things. Doesn't it just drive you crazy when they pave a new road and then tear it up to replace the water lines that should have been torn up and taken care of. They did that to Magnolia Street twice. In the 50 years that I've been alive, twice, they paved the road and then came back and then redid the piping. And you had to drive with one wheel up and one wheel down. You remember that? When you had, because the paving was lower, where they had dug up all the lines. They should have done that before they did, but they weren't thinking ahead. They didn't prepare. They didn't do the minutiae to make it right. If you want your thinking to be right now and right 5 years, you've got to prepare your heart and your mind to think rightly. Because the Bible says so. Let's look at another passage of Scripture very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Boy, this is a powerful verse of Scripture. Pastor Watt got me all fired up whenever he did this study on 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That word sober there means be serious. Be serious. Get serious about this. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now again, whose responsibility is it? What does it say there? What's the understood pronoun there? You and I. Plug your name in there. Todd, gird up the loins of your mind. We could put it that way. Understood you. Gird up the loins of your mind. Whose responsibility? It's my responsibility. We live in an age of not taking up responsibility. Do you understand that? People don't take up responsibility like they ought to. It is a continuous battle today of teaching young people and teaching adults to do a job and to do it right. I've told you this before, Mr. David Bowen out at Bowen Sporting Goods, he always calls every spring, do you have any seniors graduating this year, boys? I need students from Santa Rosa. They know how to work. Now, a lot of them learn how to work out there in that concession stand. Oh, it's hard work. It's hot work. Cooking under a grill, having to sit on those fryers and cook all night long, and trying to satisfy people at the window. And some of them aren't very nice. Did you know that? Well, I don't like it the way you did it. Will you do it again? You know, just rudeness. And young people just having a smile and helping them out and serving them. It's great training, is it not? It's wonderful training. I thank God that we have that available to our young people. We have to create opportunities these days to teach character and to teach training and dealing with people that are less than nice, obnoxious people, and learning how to deal with them and learning how to honor the Lord. That is just priceless training. It's our responsibility to do what? Gird up the loins of your mind. That's using a cultural thing from way back in Peter's day. To gird up was a man who would be going out to work and he would have his robe on and he would pull it up and he would cinch it. My grandmother used to cinch her dress when she went out to work in the fields. She used to tell us about that. She wore a dress when she worked in the cotton fields when she was growing up in the 1920s. And she would cinch up her dress to go out there and work. Why? Because she was going to work. And she didn't need anything in her way. And so the men would cinch up their garments so they could go to work. In other words, they prepared themselves to go to work. Prepare yourself to think rightly. You got to do the first things first. First things first. Time is almost gone here. Let me give you another illustration. When we were teaching our boys how to mow grass, and I had to go back to my own training because I had it from several different people growing up, and also raking yards. Boy, my grandmother was a master at raking. She could use as little effort as possible, and she'd get a lot done. My grandmother would rake acorns with her rake, and I'd see her out there, and it was just effortless how she did that. She just did it. And we would get out there as kids, and we'd sit there and bounce the rake. Ever done that? Bouncing the rake? And she said, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. You can do it this way. Pulling the rake this way. And use it, make effortless type things to be able to do that. Listen, You say, well, what difference does it make how you rake? It makes a big difference if you want to learn the right way to do it. It makes a big difference. It's like learning the right way to drive, the right way to cut grass, the right way to trim a bush, the right way to talk to an adult, the right way to talk to each other, the right way to be able to carry out our lives in a wicked and corrupt world and be a witness and a light. It makes a big difference. You have to what? Prepare your mind. And the sad commentary on the church today is we haven't done the hard work of preparation. We haven't girded up the loins of our minds. We just let things whistle through. We become very lazy. We're accustomed. Now get this. We're accustomed to having our stream of thought directed and guided by pictures. Now you say, pictures tell 1,000 words. Let me tell you something. Have you ever seen a picture of the Grand Canyon? And then stand there on the edge and look at it? Is there anybody here that would say, you know what, I'd rather just look at the picture? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Have you ever stood at the foot of a waterfall, Niagara Falls, on the side of the boat? I've been on the Maid of the Mist. Stood there on the side of the boat, had my raincoat on, and just the blast of the water. And then you take a picture. And you go home. Back in those days, we developed our pictures. Had to send them off, have them developed. Then it was really fast. You went in there and you handed them your 35 millimeter and then they ran it right through there and you got to have your pictures that day. And today we're using chips. Alright? And you looked at the picture of you standing there on the Maid of the Mist and you took a picture of the waterfalls. It's nothing, is it? It's nothing. But we've conditioned ourselves today to be influenced by pictures. And we haven't learned how to think. Alright? There's a big difference. We've been conditioned on the internet. We're gonna let our minds, that people believe everything they see on the internet. You know how many times I get emails from people? And I will go to Snopes. Anybody know what Snopes is? Snopes is a truth website where you plug in the information, alright, to see whether it's true or not. Alright? And I've done that so many times. They have these internet hoaxes and I'll go into Snopes and I'll put that in there and I'll send it back to the person who said, you need to look at this. You're sending around something that's false. They believed it because it was on the internet. Is that how we're coming now to the Bible? We just, whatever. Whatever will destroy your mind, it will destroy your heart, and it will make you ineffective for God. Now we're going to keep developing this because I think this is very important. This passage in 1 Peter 1:13 is a revelation of our preparation for right thinking. We must. I've talked about these words that Dr. Bob Sr. said ought to be in the vocabulary of the Christian. Duty, ought, and must. This is a must passage. 1 Peter 1:13, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 through 6. And these Bible verses that I shared with you last time that I encouraged you, I hope and pray you've gone home and started making it a part of your devotions about what it means to guard your mind. These are Bible verses that you need to have memorized in your mind so that they pop up. The things that you think on are the things that your mind will default to. What you spend your mind. Young people, if you spend your mind listening to the wrong kind of music, your mind will default on that kind of music. You know it to be true. You'll be walking along the road and immediately it defaults to that song that you've got memorized. Some rock song, some filthy thing that you got in your mind that you read on the internet or saw in some YouTube video or whatever, and you got it in your mind, and your mind immediately goes there. Why does it do that? Dr. Hobbs used to illustrate it this way. Your mind is like a big ball of bubble gum. Have you ever watched kids out at the ballpark? Gum falls out of their mouth. And they're sitting over there trying to pick the sand out of it. Can you ever get the sand out of that? You know, I tried as a kid. And you put it back in your mouth and you feel the grit. in your mouth and you spit it out. Why? Because you can't get sand out of that. And I'm telling you, if you fill your mind with thoughts that are contrary to this book, I'm talking about any and every thought. The Bible says we're to bring into captivity every thought to the Word of God. You don't. It's going to be like a grain of sand that gets stuck in there and then another grain of sand. And before long, there's a whole load of your mind filled up with that. And you can't get it out. It will be with you for the rest of your life. Can't get it out of your thinking. Things I've done in the past, things I shouldn't have done, they're still there. Can't get rid of them. Now you can ask God, Lord, I want this mind to be in me that was also in Christ Jesus, but it's forever embedded there. What you fill your mind with is what you'll have to draw from when you're sitting in a wheelchair in a nursing home. My heart's blessed. There's a lady comes to our service on a regular basis, and she just sings from her heart. She doesn't have a hymn book, can't read anymore. The print's too small, but she sings those hymns. You know why? She told me. My daddy was not a Christian, but he made sure we were in church every Sunday. And I memorized those hymns as a child, and they've been in my mind. They may not be able to remember my name, but they can remember the hymns. Isn't that an amazing thing? Your short-term memory goes as you get older, but your long-term memory, what you filled your mind with over life, stays with you. Stays with you. And you can't get it out. And if you haven't guarded your mind, young people, I hope and pray, children, I hope you're listening to me tonight. What you fill your mind with is what will be with you for the rest of your life. And when you cannot remember your children's name in a nursing home, all of the thoughts of the past are going to come flooding back. You will remember that. She could remember her dad. My dad always brought us to church. He knew it was the right thing to do, but he never stayed. Or sometimes he would sit in the back. He'd come at the end of the service and sit in the back and grab us up and take us back home. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We have got to watch, and we must guard our minds, or we'll say goodbye to our children. We'll say goodbye to them. You'll hear what I heard a pastor tell me, called me. He said, I wanted to thank you for the recent projector. He said, I just want you to know we're praying for our children. All of them are graduates from Christian colleges. Said the new Calvinism now is eating them up. They've accepted that. They've absorbed that in. He said now they're into all kinds of worldliness. They've excused it because of their new belief system, which is not based on the Word of God. It's based upon what others are thinking. They're going with the groupthink. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Groupthink. What do my peers tell me? They'll always tell you what you want to hear. Isn't that interesting? Rehoboam found that to be true. He wanted to hear what he wanted to hear. And the youth advisors that he had around him said, yeah, tax them. Show them who's boss. And he followed the ignorance of his youthful advisors and he lost the kingdom. You know how many tribes he had left when it was all done? The other 10 went off with Jeroboam because he listened. He let his guard down and he listened to the thinking of others that were not in line with the Word of God, and he lost what he had. You always lose. And so I pray that we will work on. We're going to continue with this. I've got so many things I want to share. This is not going to be 3 points in a poem. All right? It's not alliterated. It's just, I think, what God would have for us in these days. I am hearing from around the country. I'm hearing from around the country. Corrupt thinking is destroying local churches, and they're closing their doors because of the rifts that come because of people not thinking biblically. Not thinking biblically. And so I pray that we'll be faithful. Amen? That we'll be faithful. That we'll get the biblical guards up. and will not let wrong thinking come into our minds.